John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go again unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Welcome. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher on the air again to bring you the message of God's Word. I have to confess that I have totally fallen in love with John's Gospel. I have preached more sermons on this Gospel than any other, and certainly I think than any other book in the Bible. John's Gospel has a depth to it. It has aspects of Jesus' life and ministry that the other Gospels don't give us. These last scenes in chapters 13 right through to 17 are the interviews that the Lord Jesus had with his disciples before he was to be arrested and crucified. They are therefore the most precious discourses of the Lord in the Bible. And today we're going to take a look at this announcement that the Lord would give to his disciples another comforter. He was going away, he would be crucified, he would rise again, he would ascend to his Father, although all the disciples did not grasp that at the time, yet we know full well that's what the Lord was saying to them, and he was preparing them for this event. He did not want this to be a shock and a surprise. He would therefore send another comforter unto them. Now that would be the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who abides with the believer. And that was true for those disciples. It is true for every convert into Christ, and it's true for you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus today. What a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. He does by his Spirit what the Lord Jesus could not do with a physical body. The Holy Spirit is with each and every believer at all times. He will never forsake, he will never abandon, but will fulfill his work to sanctify us, separating us more and more out of the world and unto God. So stay tuned as we come now to this message, John chapter 14.
These words in these chapters, John 14, 15, 16, 17, and chapter 13 as well, I should have started there, really are like a deathbed scene. It is like children gathering around a father's deathbed to hear his final words. Because this is the night of the Savior's arrest. Within hours, he would be before Pilate, and he would be taken out to Calvary and crucified. And so this ministry of the Lord in these chapters that are very unique to John are extra precious and valuable to us. Now the Lord said to his disciples, I go away. I go away. And you can read the faces of the disciples as the Lord shared that with them. They were perplexed and they were concerned. And we are told that they were filled with great sorrow. And in these verses, the Lord challenges them to see beyond their immediate loss and to see the eternal gain and their own future. Because the Lord Jesus was not just closing the chapter and that was the end, but he was going to his Father. And he explained that he must do this. And he says, I go that I may come again unto you. Now, here on earth, the Lord Jesus was robbed of his glory. He was born in a manger. He was born into poverty, raised in Lazarus, a humble carpenter, not recognized by men for who he was. And then, of course, when he began to minister, attacked by the devil, hated of men, despised, and finally crucified. This world to the Lord Jesus was the place of suffering. It were his years of humiliation. When men despised him, he was treated as a root out of a dry ground, of someone of no significance. And the Lord Jesus was now looking forward to returning to his Father. And we're going to take a look today in verse 28 of that statement where he says, my Father is greater than I. Now, we know the cults just love that text, and they abuse that text to teach something very different, to rob the Lord of his glory. And they seek to use that to their own advantage. But it's very simple to see that the Lord was not referring to his divinity, that the Father was greater in his godhood or divinity, but rather the Father was in a greater position in glory. And Jesus was soon to return to glory, to enjoy the presence of his Father, and to enter into the delights and the joys which are in the Father's presence. And so for 33 years, the Lord had served in deep humiliation. And for the remainder of eternity, he would receive glory. And so this is the Lord's explanation to the disciples. And he is going away because if he goes away, it will be better. It will be better for the disciples. Now, would you look over at John chapter 16, verse 7, where the Lord said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now that word expedient is very, very interesting. And it's very important in this context. It means better. I looked up Young's literal translation and it's rendered better. It is advantageous to you that I go away and go to my Father because then the Comforter will come. And I want to look at this whole situation, this whole event, and use this word better and see how this promise of the Lord would be carried out. And I learn here that believers would have better help. The Lord will send another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would abide with them forever. He will be their helper, their comforter, their teacher, and their strength. Through that, believers would have a better life. They will live effectively as Christians, and they will be strengthened by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And also, believers will have a better future, because just as Jesus lives, as Jesus ascends to the Father, so he one day will present every one of his people to the Father. So that's my little summary of the message here, and I hope that you will follow along as we get into these verses, these details. Believers will have a better helper. And for this we need an introduction to the Holy Spirit. The Lord has promised, I will give you another comforter. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, or it is better corporately, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. So who is the Holy Spirit? Who is this Comforter? Well, he is the third person of the Trinity. He is one of the triune family of the Godhead. And we use this formula in baptisms and in benedictions. The first person, second person, third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, they are not ranked in order of their essence, nature, glory, honor, power, but rather the Father has the priority as the one who sends the Son. And then the Son has priority in that he sends the Holy Spirit. But they are all equally God. Now, if you look at verse 26, you will notice that the Holy Spirit, referred to here as the Holy Ghost, meaning breath, he is the one who is sent by the Father. But you'll notice that he is referred to in personal pronoun, masculine, singular, first person. He's a person. He is not just a force. He's not just air, but rather he is a person. And we know from the doctrine of the Trinity, there are three persons in the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is a person. And so it is right to commune with him. It is right to pray for him, and indeed to pray through him. And so we do need the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And this is a very important aspect of Christian living. Indeed, we cannot live the Christian life to the full unless we constantly invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts to control and to empower. And he is a person. Now, he's referred to here also as the Comforter. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. Now, the original language is parakletos, and it means someone who comes alongside to help. We call him alongside to help. Now, are you doing that in your Christian life? The Christian life is not lived by rules and principles alone. Now, there are rules, there are laws, there's the law of God. There are commands that are given to us. There is the will of God to do. But we do not base our Christian living on our rules and regulations. But we live the Christian life in the Spirit. And we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, which means according to the help and the guiding power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Comforter will abide with us, we are told. He will dwell in us and abide. Now, how can this be better than having the Lord Jesus with us? Well, when the Lord was on earth, in dwelling in a human body, he was limited to one place at one time. He was with the disciples in one location. But with the Holy Spirit, the Lord by his Spirit is with his people everywhere at all times. He is with his people in Australia, in Hong Kong, China, New York, Vancouver. He is with his people wherever we may go. Therefore, the Holy Spirit abides with us, and he will never depart from us. Also, he is called the Holy Spirit. And now we know that God is a Holy Father and Jesus is the Holy Son, but we don't refer to them by that title. We refer to the Spirit as the Holy Spirit because that is his specific work. That is his unique ministry to make God's people holy. He is the sanctifier. He is the purifier. And the Bible uses the symbol of the dove in reference to the Holy Spirit. When our Lord Jesus was baptized and the Father came down and the Spirit of God came down upon him, there was the symbol of the dove. Now, the dove by nature is pure. It does not seek to wallow in the muck and the mire. It keeps itself perfectly clean. And that is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if we will be a pure people, a godly people, if we will be changed more and more into the life and likeness of the Lord Jesus, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we need to plead that and pray for that. And we need to invite the sanctifier to come and work true inner holiness, that spirit of holiness within our hearts, so that we will love our God more than the world, that we will hate sin, and that we will love righteousness. And so we need the Holy Spirit to do his work as the Holy One. Now, in this passage, he is also referred to as the teacher. If you look at verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, on earth, the Lord Jesus was the teacher of the disciples. And for 3 years, he conducted a wonderful ministry to the disciples. But now that the Lord was going away to his Father, he was sending another Comforter. He would teach them all things. And this is another vital part of the Christian life, that we seek the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us. And he guides us in so many marvelous ways. He leads us to the Scriptures. He makes us to comprehend. He gives us an illumination to understand what God is saying through his Word. These things are understood spiritually. The carnal mind comprehends not the things of the Spirit. But the Christian, the born-again believer, does. And as we pray and seek the mind of the Lord, the Holy Spirit prompts and enlightens and leads us into the truth. And so this is a very vital part of the Spirit of the Lord. So this is a wonderful blessing that Christians have. And it is indeed better for us to have the Holy Spirit in every place we go than when the disciples walked the earth and the Lord walked and talked with them. The Spirit of God walks and talks with us. And that's the Spirit of Christ in us. This is wonderful. Someone was asked, what is it that makes Christianity absolutely unique and different from every other religion? And the answer was that God, by his Spirit, actually lives and dwells within the bodies, the hearts of his children. And when you think about it, there's not another religion in the world that even comes close to this. You look at all the other religions in the world and what they suggest and propose and promise, there is nothing like the new nature born again where the Holy Spirit regenerates and constantly dwells to aid, to teach, to guide, to minister power, joy, and gladness in our souls. And so this is really the peak of Christian living. And so I move now to the fact that believers will live better as Christians. We will live better Christian lives. And we're told here in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, one of our problems as Christians is that we have very bad memories. We read part of the Bible and we forget it. We read precious truths and we forget them. But when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and when we live by the help of the Holy Spirit, we are given truth and understanding. Now, we will be spirit taught. And you need to pray for that. You need to ask the Lord to teach you by His Spirit, that you be much more than just an historian searching the Bible, much more than just a theologian looking of how to systematically compile truths and doctrines, but that in your own life, the Holy Spirit make you a walking example of truth in action day by day.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church, and this is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Now, this truth of the Holy Spirit becoming the Comforter, the Helper who lives and abides in the heart of each believer, Let this truth sink deep down into your heart. It is by meditating and praying for this blessing, this benefit of the gospel, of the living power of God the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, that you will enter into a deeper, closer walk with God. You will be an overcomer by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And how we each need reviving of soul. We can hardly pray for revival in our land if we're not praying for our reviving in our own soul. And we need to see this in the heart of each and every Christian in this land, to live the Christian life and to pray for God's power. Let us now pray and ask the Lord to give us His Spirit. Father, we thank Thee for the teaching of Thy Word, for the ministry of the Lord Jesus on that night before His arrest. We thank Thee that He promised the Holy Spirit's ministry in personal power and victory. And we know that the disciples enjoyed that when they waited on the Holy Ghost to descend and the Spirit of God fell at Pentecost. We also know, O Lord, that you have never withdrawn your Spirit from the world and will not until the day the trumpet sounds and you return in power and glory. And so we pray for this blessing, this personal infilling and indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, to revive our hearts and enable us to live the Christian life. We know, O Lord, at this time that many are suffering, many are lonely, many are mourning the loss of loved ones. We cry out, O God, for the ministry of your Spirit to each and every heart, to turn men, women, young people to enjoy that blessed experience of the living Christ living in hearts. I pray that you will lead and guide us in your service and take us on to be more useful in your kingdom. Bless families, bless homes, and bless the ministry of our church. How much we need thee in these times. We ask it all in the name of our precious, wonderful Lord Jesus. Now, if I can be of any help, make sure you give me a call. We're coming now to the announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let The Bible Speak.